Week, I think it was last Wednesday, I didn't get to my first point, so I'm going to try to go over again a little bit of same stuff, maybe. I was watching television, I usually do. Y'all ever watch television? I don't watch nothing but the news or the nature picture about the birds and the bees. But snakes and the old varmints, that's about all I look at, you know. But anyway, I was watching in you know, we in a bad mess in our country. I think about teaching about on the Word of God, and showing people had a maze fixed. I believe it was out there somewhere in the Corn Belt where they have these big maze fixed, you know, and you go in these mazes. Anybody ever been in a maze, maybe in a circus, or even used to be at the fair out here and have some maze that they come out of mirrors. You know, you go in that maze, if you weren't careful, it'd take you a while to get out of it. Everywhere you turn, it seemed like it was the wrong way to turn. And that's about where we are right now in our country. You know, I think our country's in a maze. Not only that, our whole world seems like everywhere we turn, we're in a mess. You go to our politics, and one of them, they turn this way, and before long you find out that ain't right, and he'll be done something you don't agree with, and they got somebody, and then he turns another different way. And I'm telling you, Democrats, Republicans, whatever they might be, all of them, they just... Can't like lead us down a dead-end road, turn around, come back out. Our whole world, I believe, is in a maze. They don't know how to get out of it. Turn left, turn right, don't know which way to turn. But you see, our churches and maybe even the families, they don't know which way to turn. And what's reason that we're in the condition we're in is because we've left the Word of God. And there's no direction. I thought about a maze. How in the world would you find your way in a maze? What if you had somebody up above you there was telling you which way to turn? You know, you could just walk right on through it, just like walking around this church. You go right on out the door. If you had somebody up there, you could see where you're going. Well, God's up there telling us everything and which way to turn. And we don't have to worry about a dead end because he told us everywhere to turn, which way to turn, and how to get out of the maze that we're in. Just get back to the Word of God. It's the tent peg. We need to drive it down further in our life, in our church, and in our country. If you want to really read about the Word of God, read Psalms 119, because that Psalms 119 is really a whole chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, and just about every verse, I believe every verse, is talking about the Word of God. And you just need to read the Psalms 119. It seemed like it's a young psalmist that's writing this, and it seemed like he's writing in for us today, the United States, and this the world. And the day that we know that he found himself at that time in a hostile environment, just like we are today, just like the Christians are today. We're in a hostile environment and against our faith, against our Lord, and also the things of God. And the psalmist finds himself there, and he was the object of slander, an object of persecution, and object of all type of things. And we are too. Religious people, I'm talking about religious people, Christian people, we're just an object of all type of confusion for the world as they look at us. They don't understand it. But you see, he didn't quit. He just tightened his grip on the Word of God. And you'll find out if you read that Psalm, exactly what he done. He read that Word of God. He held on to the Word of God. And that's what we need to do, is get back to the Word of God. So back as I go over a little bit of last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, about talking about being faithful to the Word of God. Did you know if we was faithful to the Word of God, again, each night that I stand up here, I'm talking to myself. Some people think I'm talking right to them, and I'm picking on them, and I'm picking on my own self. If I was faithful to the Word of God, as I should be faithful to the Word of God, this might fit y'all too, I don't know. But you know that would take care of everything that's about in our life. You know, if ever Christian was faithful just to the Word of God, it'd take care of their attendance, it'd take care of their tithes, it'd take care of their life problems. If we just get back to the Word of God, I know it would for me so many times. And you know what? Would you admit tonight sometimes you know the Word of God, but you don't do the Word of God? Are we in the same boat? Now, am I talking to everybody tonight? Well, I'm the only one. Me and Robert, we might be the only one in here tonight. Robert, we know the Word of God, but a lot of times we don't do what we know we ought to do by the Word of God. So if we don't, that means that I'm not faithful to the Word of God as I should be. There are always improvements. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, we ought to be faithful. And I ought to be faithful. I ought to be more faithful than what I am. And as I told you about faithfulness, as old Webster says, you know, it's our affection and our allegiance to what we should be faithful to. We're talking about the Word of God here. And it's more than going through emotions. It's more than just showing up, you know, and thank the Lord for you here. But, you know, it's our attitude of our loyalty. And, you know, you just think about Christians today around our country, just in the United States, how loyalty are they to the cause of Christ, to Jesus Christ, to what he stands for, what Jesus Christ loves. How loyalty do we have that? See, it's a thing just about of the past. People's not loyal to they, as they should be. They're not committed and they're not, no more find out that they're loyal to the Lord as they used to be, or to the church, or to the jobs, or to the marriage, as far as that, you know, and even paying their bills or whatever it might be. People just not loyal to as they used to be. The affection we have the day, it should be through the love we have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I shared with you about old Peter and how he denied the Lord. You know, he said he wouldn't deny the Lord, but he did. You ever got to the point you say you don't never want to sin anymore? I don't never want to sin anymore. You find out that before long you done sinned again. You know, old Peter said, I ain't ever going to do that. You ever said, I ain't never going to do that, and you find out you do it? Well, you find out that old nature's still very much alive in our bodies. You know that old nature's still right here with us. And it's going to follow us all the way up to the grave, too. It's a daily battle that we're in today. But Peter says, Lord, I won't ever deny you. They might deny you. I won't deny you. But at the resurrection, you know, he met the Lord on that seashore. And he says, if you love me, then, Peter, go and feed my sheep. You know, just be faithful to what I've called you to do. And that's what he called us to do, to be faithful. We went through Moses. He gives all examples of the Bible. Went through Moses, how Moses in Hebrews chapter 11:25, it says, chose rather to suffer affliction with God's people rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, because he remembered the word of God. Where did he hear the word of God at? Our families have failed a lot of time because our kids grows up and our grandkids grows up and we don't pass it on. That he got from his mother. She raised him, as y'all know the story about Moses and Jochebed. And he got the word from his mother. And he remembered the word of God. And he stood on the word of God. That's where he got it from. It's from his mother, the word of God. She passed it on to him. And he'd rather do what God called him to do. And then we have old Job, you know, Job 1:21. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And old Abraham, old Isaac. So he remembered what God told him. You see, God's speaking the word of God right here. If God would stand up here in his presence and speak to us, which we know that's not going to happen, but if he did, and whatever he would speak out of his mouth, it would be the word of God. Because it says, you know, in Matthew, we're talking about the word of God, and everything that God says, it would just be the word of God. So here it is, old Abraham. He understood what God had told him to do. He carried his only son up there, Isaac, to sacrifice him. God spared him. Now Isaiah, we jumped on down through Isaiah. Now Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, it says, that was the day when Isaiah seen the movement of the Lord in the temple. And he said, go and tell this people, let me back up another verse, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Lord, I'll go. Now, has Lord told you to go? Lord's called us, every one of us, for us to go. Isaiah said, I'll go, Lord. He said, all right, here I am, and here I am tonight. Here you are tonight, Lord, and send me. And he was faithful to do what God called him to do, to be a preacher of the word of God. Then we find out old Ruth. You remember old Ruth, the story, the great love story, whenever, you know, it went down to her mother-in-law, Naomi, went down to the foreign land, left Israel, and how that she had two sons, and they got married, and y'all know the love story. We won't go into that. But then they was going to turn around and go back into Canaan land, and we find out Ruth was going to go with her mother-in-law. And it says there in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, and Ruth said, talking to her mother-in-law, Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou hast lodged, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. She wanted to follow God, and she was faithful to follow God. She had heard about God. Where did she hear about God? From her mother-in-law. She wanted to know about this God of Israel. In the land of Moab, she heard about that, those other gods, those false gods, and they didn't give relief to her. You know, they've got a lot of gods in this country. You know, we got a lot of gods in this country. You know, she went to foreign, or she's from a foreign country, but she found out these gods would not satisfy her needs. She wanted this living God. You know, all the other religions of the world, they got false gods. But I'm going to tell you, they worship somebody that's dead in the grave, but we worship somebody that's out of the grave. I mean, we got a living religion. I mean, if you want to call it religion, I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ, he rose from the grave, and we worship a living Savior. His bones is not in the tomb somewhere. And she wanted this God that was alive forevermore. Then old Peter, after he had saw Jesus Christ, there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, tells us, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." He's going to be put in jail. They told him to quit speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. But he says, you know, we can't but speak what we have seen and what we have heard. If you have this burning in your heart to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, desire to see people saved, it bothers me that there are not people being saved. You know, it bothers me. But old Paul, was he faithful man? Old Paul, was he faithful to the calling of Christ Jesus? You know, his life was ended. You know, I can see that old man now. I get a picture of old Paul once in a while. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and he calls him from that old prison walls, prison cell. "Paul, we're going out there now. They're going to cut your head off. You're going to die, Paul." An old twisted body. All this life he had lived for the Lord, been in shipwreck, been beaten, and, you know, hands twisted and squinch-eyed and probably a little short, bald-headed man. I don't know what he looked like. But, you know, he was probably just humbling over there. Good, you know. And, "Paul, we're going to cut your head off." Oh, Paul was probably singing, you know. I don't know. He probably singing on the way over there. I could just hear that old guard telling him, "Paul, you don't realize that you're fixing to die?" He said, "Don't bother me." He said, "I die daily. I'm used to it." Because he was faithful to the gospel. And that time it says there in verse 7, Paul says, "Called, I fought a good fight." Yeah, it would be good if I could say that. "I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but all those at Pleasant Hill, and all those, excuse me, that love his appeared all through the centuries of the people that's fought a good fight." Can you reckon when you stand before Jesus Christ, and you will, you reckon, could you say, "I fought a good fight, my Savior. I fought a good fight"? I don't know if y'all read very much about old D.L. Moody. He was a great man like Billy Graham of his day, a great evangelist. About like Billy Graham, loved the Lord. And he was asked why he preached so hard. "Why do you try so hard to get people saved?" He said, "Don't you know that this world getting better and better?" He says, "No, I don't really think it's getting better and better. Why I preach so hard? Because I see this world as a ship like the Titanic going to go down and sink in water and people be drowned. I see this world of people, the sea of people, and I'm going to try to save all I can. They go into their destitution. And I'm going to try to save all that I can." You see that big old ocean liner on television turned over on its side there? I don't know how many they found all of them yet. A big cruise, 4,000 people on it. Then nobody gave them too much warning until it flopped over on its side, did they? They didn't know it was going to happen, like kind of like the Titanic. But old Paul says, "I could picture this. This world we're living in is going to go down. Civilization is deteriorating more all the time. I don't care who says it's getting better. It's deteriorating." And you know, God never intended to save this deteriorating world that we're living in, but save us out of this world. No, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 5:19. "God hath committed to us the word of reconciliation." That's probably one of the greatest verses of the Bible to give to you and I, because God says, "You know what? I have committed unto you, the Christian people, what? The word of reconciliation to the people that's lost in this world. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful to what God has entrusted in us. God's entrusted in us the Word of God. We've been entrusted with the Word of God, you know what? And we should be faithful to it. Getting into my six reasons, I don't believe I'm going to be able to make it much, my throat. Six reasons covers the problems of our world, the problem of our country, and the problem I'm going to tell you with each and every one of us, and it gets back to the Word of God. Because it says in Matthew 4 and 4, whenever Jesus Christ was tempted, and he answered the devil, and it said, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. As I told you, if he speak to us, if he's going to speak to us, he'll be speaking what's already said. That's where you hear people sometimes on television, you say, this man's a prophet, he got something new to tell you. Ain't nothing new. If it is, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. It's already been said. Nothing else can be said. God has spoke through the Word of God. God spoke through His Son. God's got nothing else to say to mankind in this world and what He had already said. He's already said all He's going to say. He said it through His Son. He said it through this Word of God, the written Word of God, the living Word of God. He's got nothing else to say to me. He's got nothing else to say to you. He's got nothing else to say to mankind, no matter how long this world stands. I've done said all I'm going to say to you. I've done all I want to do. We have the Word of God. We have the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. That's all we need. Amos 8 and 11 says, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the Word of God. There will come a day, and I believe we're living in that day now. I believe we're living in that day now. Because of these things, I'm telling you right here, the Word of God has been cut up. It's been abused in so many different ways. This is the reason he said that I'm going to ascend it. Because you see people today, to start with, because they deny it. We should be faithful to the Word of God because there's so many people deny it. If we have a revival, I'm going to tell you, if we have a revival, it's going to be because of the Word of God back in the center of our lives, in the center of our church, in the center of our nation. The Word of God. He said we need to do the Word of God. We need to be faithful to the Word of God in our country. Jude 1 and 3 says, he is writing, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto all saints. You see, I started writing to you about the common salvation, but then it's something very, very, something took over my whole idea of thinking. He said, you know, and the Holy Spirit of God is doing writing here. And he said, you know, I started writing here about our faith, the faith. Something more and more important, be faith. Because Jude tells about the time that we're living in now, about getting away from the Word of God. And he says, the faith. And that word, the faith, is talking about, you know, our fundamentals of our faith. You know, you take a football out of a football game, you won't have a football game. You take a goalpost out of a football game, you won't have a football game. Because there's certain things that you take out, you will not have a football game. Same thing about the faith. What he's talking about. The faith. You take certain things out. You know, the virgin birth, you take it out, you will not have the faith. You know, the resurrection of our Lord, the faith. You won't have it. Certain things you take out, you will not have the faith that he's talking about. And then he began to write about this. And people now, today, they have took the Word of God. They have denied the Word of God so much. And that's the reason we need to stand on it. We need to stand on it for those who denied it. They tell you that it's not perfect. They'll tell you it's not the Word of God. It's not infallible. It's not inspired. And they just deny the person of the Bible, the Holy Spirit of the Bible, and its place where it should be taking us. Then, yeah, I'll be with you in a minute. Many claim to believe the Bible, do not follow the Word of God. They desecrate it. They cut parts of it out. They take parts, they add parts like the cults do. And you'll find a lot of people that does that with the Word of God. You can make this Word of God just about say anything you want it to say. All type of religion. They'll say, you know, the cultist, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons. You know what? They'll tell you about this King James Version Bible. Mormons, they say, yeah, we believe in that, we believe in that. They don't believe it, no such a thing. They show you parts that they believe in. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They don't believe in the blood atonement. That cuts out part of it. Not only them, we got a lot of people that believe what they want to believe. They make it say what they want it to say. You know, Jehovah Witness, they're just about as bad as the Mormons as far as being a cultist. But then you take it a step further, and people today, we're living in a time where homosexuality is growing with leaps and bounds, and they're forcing it all the time. That's just a normal way of life, common way of life, and you know, you're born that way, and you know, they can't help it, and you see that in just about every stand. Then if we say anything about it, it's going to get where you can't even say anything about it and preach the truth even from pulpits across America. I'm telling you, it's going to get that way. If people keep putting these liberal people in power, we're going to get that way. We can't even tell the truth about the Word of God, that they was not born that way. But they'll have a Bible themselves. They got Bibles. They cut out and they add to what they want about homosexuality. There's no such thing as a person being born as a homosexual. The thing they don't understand, they say, well, you know, y'all haters, we're not supposed to hate people because of that. I mean, they're sinners. I mean, you're not supposed to hate people because of homosexuality. God loves them just as much as he does us. You know, but they just don't love their sin. See, what's different that people tell lies? God don't like people tell lies, neither does he. You know, he don't like what we do, but he loves us. And he come to save us out of our sin, not in our sin. You say, well, can a homosexual be saved? No. A homosexual cannot be saved because they'll come out of that lifestyle. Because once they are saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes into their heart. It comes into their life. And they will not remain that way. They cannot remain a homosexual if they're saved. Because like I said, God said, I come to save you out of your sins, not in your sins. It's just like an alcoholic, you know, somebody's on drugs. They can't remain in that condition. They got to come out. Will they fall back? Many times I fell back into some of my old sins. Any of y'all done it? Yeah, you have too, you see. Well, about fall back, but see, you won't stay there. God won't let you stay there. You have to come back out. You can't keep on being in that lifestyle. So that they have this lifestyle, they take part out, desecrate the Word of God. You just remember Mr. Television. You see a lot, Mr. TV. When one half of the truth is presented as the whole truth, it then becomes an untruth. That's what he's doing. Such a good man. And it sounds all good, but you listen. When a truth is presented as a half-truth, it becomes an untruth when it's presented that way. And all he'll tell you is a half-truth. He won't tell you both sides of the coin. So therefore, it is an untruth. When a half-truth is presented as a whole truth, it is become an untruth. Very, very clever. They are very clever. What do you think the devil would like to use better? A lie is so close to the truth you can't tell the difference. Or just a penal out lie, man, that everybody knows it's a lie. He likes to have that one that's so close to the truth you can't hardly tell the difference. That's what old Satan wants. If you don't stay in the Word of God, you won't know this. You'll be in that maze that I talked about. You can't tell which way to turn. Sounds good. But you see, the Word of God, I tell you, if you're in the Word of God, and a lot of people tell me, oh, that sounds good to me, sounds good. Well, it don't sound good to the Word of God because it's not the Word of God. It's not all of it. Old Satan uses that too, and he uses everything that he can. And he'll use that too. We have to be careful about old Satan. Y'all know that? Revelation 22:19 says, if any man shall take away part of the Word of God from this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And they're doing that all the time. We have to be very careful, this Word of God, that we don't get caught up in the maze that we have, the life that we're living and around us today. We'll know the difference because the truth will set you free. And you'll be free indeed. The devil would rather have a recruit anytime than a casualty. Y'all hear that? The devil would rather have a recruit than a casualty. In other words, he'd like to take someone that speaks a lot about the Word of God, it's not the truth, it's close to it, than someone over just denieth completely the Word of God. He'd rather have somebody like a Mormon riding the bicycle telling people about the false cults. He'd rather use that than somebody somebody down on Skid Road. Which one do you think he'd use the most? That person that's paddling that bicycle, knocking on doors, rather than that casualty down on Skid Road, then nobody's going to listen to look at that person. Drug heads, you know, dope heads, or whatever it is, down on the life floor, and nobody's going to pay any attention to them. That's a casualty. Satan's already got it, but he can't use that casualty as he can that recruit. Y'all got it? That recruit. And we all tell the difference by the Word of God. The Word of God tells the difference. Very clever. Dangerous thing to claim part of the Word of God, and not all of it is inspired, but all the Word of God is. Some of them disregard it. Paul to Timothy, last days, it says that people will disregard the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He says it's coming, it'll be here. I think it's in the United States today. Everybody's considered to be a Christian today. Did y'all know that? Everybody's saved. You know, even that thing we got as a president, he claimed to be a Christian, yet he's for abortion, homosexuality, and everything else, ungodly thing in the world he can stand for. But everybody's saved in this country, in this world. You say, you may be a judge. No, I'm not the judge, but the Word of God is. If you know the Word of God, you know what he's talking about and where he's coming from. There's no such a thing as a social gospel. No such a thing as a social salvation. That won't make it. It's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ. Y'all believe that? I am the way. But you guys today, you know, we're supposed to tolerate everything, be tolerant, you know, and give everybody a chance. Everybody tolerant, except when it comes to Christianity. People go through rituals and formalities and confession and easy believism, and, you know, and everybody is saved. But you say you better be careful about the Word of God, because if it ain't the Word of God, it ain't true. I'm going to have to quit tonight. I'm going to have to quit tonight. Have y'all got us a song y'all could put on the thing? My throat won't let me go no further. I wanted to get that part at the bottom anyway, but I didn't make it. But I'm about to finish up anyway. Y'all forgive me.